Hello, and a warm welcome back to Braillecast, connecting the dots for Braillists everywhere. Coming up this time, we'll be hearing from our chairman, Dave Williams, in a speech that he gave at the banquet of the 64th Annual National Conference and Convention of the American Council of the Blind. The power of sharing our blindness stories. Six little dots to six major marathons. The presentation was given on the 10th of July 2025 and was introduced by ACB's Treasurer and the Master of Ceremonies for the evening, Michael Garrett.
So now we're at the point in our program for our speaker for this evening. He's none other than Dave Williams. So let me tell you a little bit about Dave. Let's see, I hope I can get through this. My fingers are a little sticky, so we'll see if we can. Dave Williams is an experienced specialist in accessible technology, media relations, and inclusive design. For 25 years, Dave has worked to advance the accessibility for blind and low vision individuals. His professional background spans audio production, communication media, agile design, and digital product testing, complemented by his lived experiences as a blind parent, international marathon runner, and award-winning volunteer. During his tenure at RNIB's inclusive design as in our RNIB's inclusive design ambassador, Dave spearheaded impactful initiatives that championed Braille and tactile literacy, independence, and inclusion. Highlights include leading the Braille 200 celebrations across the UK, hosting 150 episodes of Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio, including a memorable interview with Stevie Wonder, and collaborating with Netflix to raise awareness of audio description. He partnered with Canon on the world's unseen tactile photography exhibition and with Sony Europe to spread accessibility initiatives such as tactile cues on product packaging. And Dave has represented the UK on the board of the DAISY Consortium and is an active member of the European Blind Union Braille Working Group. Dave was recently named University College London's Community Tutor of the Year for his inclusive communication workshops for medical students. In 2023, he received a Point of Light Award from the UK Prime Minister for work with the Braillist Foundation, spreading Braille and tactile literacy. A keen runner, in 2025, Dave was inducted into the Abbott World Marathon Majors 6-star Hall of Fame, completing marathons in New York City, London, Boston, Berlin, Chicago, and Tokyo. And he happens to have his Tokyo medal with him tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Williams.
Good evening, ACB, Madam President, friends, advocates, everyone here and online. Thank you for your hospitality. I'm grateful for your invitation to share in ACB's big dreams and bold ideas. Not only this week here in Dallas, but over many decades in many places far beyond these shores. It is a huge privilege to stand before you tonight as someone whose life has been profoundly shaped by this movement. Let me begin with a deeply personal truth. For a long time, I resented my blindness, and like many, I struggled to accept blindness as part of my identity. But it was through you that I learned to think differently, to dream boldly, and to act decisively. That shift in perspective changed everything for me, and that's why I'm here tonight, to celebrate what is possible when we accept our identity and bring about that change in others. Our blindness stories break down barriers, build bridges. They turn isolation into community, fear into action, and doubt into confidence. Together, I believe that we can ignite that transformation in others. When I talk about blind people, I intend blind in the broadest sense. Whether you identify as blind, low vision, visually impaired, we all are valued in this community, and our voices carry equal importance. And if you are sighted and you're someone who elevates the voices of blind people, we thank you for your solidarity. Before I share how it was you in this movement who taught this Northern English lad to think and feel differently about my blindness, becoming a passionate Braille advocate and 6-star Marathon World Majors finisher, I must extend my gratitude to our friends at DOT, whose support means I can be with you tonight. I know that many of you this week took the opportunity to get hands-on with the DotPad X, a highly versatile multi-line Braille and tactile display, portable enough to fit inside a school bag. DOT's technology is disrupting the Braille display industry, and using a DotPad and the DOT Canvas app, I was recently able to support my sighted 16-year-old with his math revision, and I was able to get to touch his signature for the very first time. DOT and partners like APH and Humanware are developing the next generation of educational and employment opportunities that we could only dream of just a few years ago. Now, Where are you, first timers? Do we have any first timers here? My first convention was in Birmingham, Alabama. And I can tell you that your Birmingham in July is a bit warmer than my Birmingham near my home in England. We simply do not have anything like these conventions in the UK. And, well, I jumped in at the deep end with you guys. It was an eventful year. General session ran on to an extra day, if anybody remembers that. And, of course, as director of ACB Radio, I was responsible for making sure that ACB's membership and our listeners tuned in offices and homes in countless countries could hear our coverage. And while we were very well looked after by our friends in ACB's Alabama affiliate, where are you, Alabama? Yeah. Our internet connectivity at convention that year was especially problematic. And it seemed to get even more challenging during the liveliest of debates. And look, I want to make it very clear that my purpose then, as it is now, is to empower as many blind people as possible by ensuring our access to the information, tools, and skills that we need to live our best lives. A year before Birmingham, ACB Radio's founder and mentor to many of us decided that it was time for him to move on, and I took the call. My predecessor, Jonathan Mosen, would be, indeed, would be an impossible act for anyone to follow, but he believed in me. And long before ACB Radio, as a young man, well, I'd avoided the tools and skills that could have empowered me. I resisted the cane. I dismissed Braille. I thought that these skills marked me as different in a way that I wasn't ready to accept. I mistakenly believed that specialist skills separated me from society. These days, we would say othering. And so I cast those things aside for a very long time. It took me years to recognize that actually confidence can come from a cane or a guide dog, and enjoying the bedtime story with our kids can come from Braille. The voices I heard on ACB radio via my dial-up modem, anyone remember them? Leaders, people like Marlena Lieberg. And Paul Edwards. They challenged me to rethink what it meant to be blind. They taught me that tools like Braille and a white cane do not separate us from other people. They actually connect us to the people and the world around us. Their advocacy lifted me up, and I realized that I had a chance to be part of something much bigger. And so, when I took on the role as ACB Radio director, I was terrified. Could a young lad from a small town in northern England really lead an initiative that was connecting blind people across the globe? But I said yes. Why? Because this movement showed me the power of taking risks, and because I knew that by sharing our stories, we could empower others to do the same. One of my first tasks as ACB Radio director was to convince Marlena to start a new talk show. She was so humble, and she asked me, what if nobody listens, and what would we even call it? I told her that I was sure that everyone would listen, and we would call the show Marlena. And like many of you, I miss her lots, and I think of her often. I also knew that Paul Edwards was a natural broadcaster and must have his own show. He teamed up with Brian Charlson and Tuesday Topics was born. You certainly kept me busy. When I wasn't producing audio or seeking sponsorship, my email and phone rang 24/7. If it wasn't a server in California needing another reboot, it was listeners frustrated that they'd missed out on the latest episode of Main Menu, Blind Handyman, or Cooking in the Dark, and would I please send it to them? So I managed to persuade our small team of volunteer software developers to build us a Listen Again on demand service, which was kind of like an early form of podcasting. ACB Radio didn't just stream content, it brought blind people together online long before Zoom calls and virtual conventions became the norm. We created opportunities for storytelling, advocacy, and community that spanned continents. From broadcasting ACB conventions to global events like the World Blind Union General Assembly from South Africa, we ensured that the voices of blind people could be heard. The impact did not stop there. ACB Radio became a launchpad for careers, a platform for innovation, and a catalyst for change. It inspired similar initiatives worldwide. It proved that when blind people lead, we can redefine what is possible. That legacy continues today through ACB Media, and its ripple effects are felt in every corner of our community. We will never know how many blind lives have been touched by this priceless service. Let's hear it for ACB Media. When it was my turn to pass on the ACB Radio baton, it was to join a team that was working on one of the first mobile screen readers with touchscreen support. Talks, Mobile Speak, and Pocket HAL pioneered many of the concepts that we now take for granted in VoiceOver on iPhone and TalkBack on Android. Following the early success of ACB Radio, blind people in many nations started their own online radio stations. In 2003, the Royal National Institute of the Blind in the United Kingdom launched Europe's first station for the blind community, now known as RNIB Connect Radio. I worked for the RNIB for 6 years as their inclusive design ambassador, and we partnered with companies like Canon, Netflix, and Sony to advance their accessibility initiatives. My ACB Radio experience meant that I was invited to host over 150 episodes of RNIB's flagship technology show, Tech Talk. We were recognized by the UK radio industry as a Community Station of the Year in 2024. As well as interviewing many movers and shakers in the technology world, including accessibility leaders from Microsoft and Google, as you heard, I had the incredible honor in March 2024 of recording a short interview with the legendary singer-songwriter Stevie Wonder. As we were introduced, I recalled the awe with which Marlena had interviewed her hero, Ronnie Millsap, years earlier. Marlena taught me that, you know what, it's okay to feel that childlike excitement even during the moments that define our careers. After shaking Stevie's hand, I asked if he would be willing to share some messages about accessibility and inclusion with our blind brothers and sisters in the UK. I held my breath. He said, "Let's do that now." I began recording. He asked about my recording equipment, and he playfully imitated my English accent. You should hear is Bob Dylan. Yeah. As we were talking, we were forced to move due to being jostled by the crowd. And before I could grab my cane, Stevie took my arm in his and proceeded to walk us both forward. Hold the phone. I'm now being sighted guided by Stevie Wonder. He said, don't worry about it, Dave. In a moment, I'm going to walk us both into a wall. My other lasting memory of that moment, in the interview, Stevie said that I could not enjoy the career that I have were it not for Braille. He talked about how he uses Braille to write and edit his many songs and how he has an ambition to publish his catalogue in Braille for blind musicians to study. Stevie is not alone. We can all think of high-profile blind people who would link their success to an ability to read Braille. Leading journalists like Gary O'Donoghue, and educators and lawyers and politicians holding high office would all identify Braille as being key in getting the job done. And as for many of you, spreading Braille and tactile literacy is a subject very close to my heart. Every day, I continue to be amazed how combinations of just six little dots fitting neatly under our fingerprints represent every letter of the alphabet, numbers, punctuation, math, music, and other symbols, providing access to any subject in any language. Incidentally, six is also the number of big city marathons that you have to run to complete the Abbott World Marathon Majors series, and we'll come back to that a little bit later. Braille's invention meant that for the first time, blind people could independently write and read our own stories, find our own voices, become educated and employed, label household items, read our own greetings cards, identify medication, the list goes on. And that whether you read Braille or not, I think we can all recognise how Braille is deeply linked with the emancipation of blind people. And let us not forget, of the many tactile reading systems developed in the 19th century, and there were many. You had your War of the Dots, we had our Battle of the Types. It was no accident that the system that ultimately prevailed was developed by a young person who knew exactly what we needed because he was blind. Braille is a very early example of that modern disability mantra, nothing about us without us. Blind people around the world have been celebrating 200 years since Braille's invention. I've been communicating Braille's value in national print and broadcast media, meeting hundreds of Braille ambassadors at libraries across the UK, and on the 4th of January this year, I think that's January the 4th over here, the Braillists Foundation, we delivered the UK's very first face-to-face World Braille Day conference. Now, I recognise that in the US, Braillist usually means somebody who is a Braille producer, but in the UK, it refers to any blind person who relies on Braille. We formally established the Braillists Foundation in early 2020 to promote Braille and tactile literacy. Our aims were to promote the value of Braille as a proven literacy tool that enriches the lives of blind people, support efforts to make Braille and tactile reading technology more available to all blind people, regardless of education and employment status, and to provide an open forum for the exchange of ideas about the development of future Braille technology. And when social distancing forced everyone online, we began offering classes to introduce Braille to beginners, supportive reading groups for practicing Braille skills, drop-in sessions where you could get Braille-related questions asked and answered, and masterclasses covering more advanced topics. The work of the Braillist Foundation was also recognized here in the United States by your National Braille Press Touch of Genius Prize for Innovation. We received the UK Prime Minister's Point of Light Award, and in May this year, I had the honour to accept an invitation to a Royal Garden Party celebrating skills and learning at Buckingham Palace. You are invited to join the international community celebrating Braille 200 for the rest of this year. The European Blind Union Braille Working Group are encouraging everyone to share creative expressions celebrating Braille, and you can learn more about that on their website at livingbraille.eu. You can also follow the hashtag Braille200 on your social media. It's not too late to organise your own Braille 200 event. And of course, you can elevate the voices of Braille readers by connecting with your very own Braille Revival League. I also invite you to tune in to my new podcast, Raising the Dots, that will connect listeners with the people and innovations and technology that are reshaping the world of Braille and tactile literacy. And don't forget, next year, 2026, APH will be opening the Dot Experience in Louisville. Is it Louisville? I can never do it right. Yeah. To celebrate Braille's rich heritage. Yeah. Braille's profoundly personal connection cannot be underestimated. Braille enabled me to write a proposal of marriage on a Braille Scrabble board. I waited, heart pounding, while my girlfriend rummaged in the bag to find some letters to compose her answer. During which time, I realised I'd used both letter Ys in the question. She wrote blank ES. Next week, we'll be celebrating our 14th wedding anniversary. I was also deeply moved shortly after crossing the finish line at the Tokyo Marathon in March this year to discover Braille featured on the finisher medal. I had run an exceptionally long way to get to that point, and reading that Braille for myself, rather than having to ask a sighted person to read it to me, well, that felt like inclusion. Yeah. In the running community, completing the much sought after Abbott World Marathon Majors series is some journey. Blind since birth with Leber's congenital amaurosis, I never really saw myself as a runner. And in fact, 7 years ago, I weighed over 220 pounds and couldn't run a bath. I did have a vague idea that I might be able to get a guide runner and convert them into a pilot for my tandem bike that was gathering dust in my garage. And so, With that in mind, I signed up for England Athletics Find a Guide database, which is a bit like your United in Stride. I soon met Steve and later Bex, my first real guide runners, who, it turned out, had absolutely no interest in piloting a tandem. But they did get me running. And what started off as lots of huffing and puffing to just about reach a mile turned into weekly runs and a community of support. I'd hated physical education at school, ill-fitting kit and smelly changing rooms and PE teachers. And during those early attempts at something you couldn't really describe as running, I thought about a blind lady that I knew with asthma who had recently completed a marathon. I was also reminded of Eric Wagmire, the first blind person to summit Mount Everest, also interviewed by Marlena, obviously. Just exactly what was my excuse? I decided that I was going to get fit and set an example for my 10-year-old son, Arlo. And with lots of encouragement, especially from other blind runners sharing their stories, I dragged myself from couch to 5K, which is just over 3 miles. While no guide runner seeks recognition for themselves, they are fantastic people, by the way, some blind runners told me how they wanted their guide runners to appear in results and officially receive a finisher medal at the London Marathon. Oh, somebody's bedtime. It was the advocacy skills that I learned from this movement that enabled me to support that campaign by producing an audio package for BBC Radio. Our combined efforts meant London Marathon changed their policy. In my excitement about this small win for guided running, I returned home from the pub one night and went online, because of course alcohol and the internet are always a winning combination, right? I found myself filling in a ballot entry form for a place in the New York City Marathon. What was I thinking? I'd barely run 6 miles at this point, and here I was entering a lottery to run 26.2 miles, not to mention the thousands of miles that you need to run in months and months of training. Surely I would not get a place. I would not need to tell anyone, right? Wrong. Dear Mr. Williams, the email read, congratulations, you have a place in the 2019 New York City Marathon. This had to be some kind of joke. I checked my bank. Oh, shoot. New York Roadrunners had taken $270, and now I would have to tell my wife. I had 9 months to train, and the more I thought about it, the more I really did want to show my 10-year-old son that, you know what, as blind dads, we can do things, yeah? So, through the summer, I ran up and down the hills in Worcestershire to prepare myself for the 5 massive bridges that you must cross in the New York City Marathon. Verrazano Narrows, Pulaski, Queensborough, Willis Avenue, and Madison Avenue. I was doing my homework, guys. I even joined the gym. And it was a beautiful autumnal morning at Fort Wadsworth on Staten Island as I lined up with 53,000 other runners to take on my first marathon. Helicopters hovered overhead and cannons blasted as earlier waves set out. Nobody more surprised than me to be a part of it. Of course, Sinatra's New York, New York and Jay-Z's Empire State of Mind were on high rotation. And of course, New York would be the first of six starts that also included London, Boston, Berlin, Chicago, and Tokyo. Six big city marathons that have come together to make the classic Abbott World Marathon Major Series. And these big city marathons, they're like 26.2 mile street parties. The atmosphere is electric. You really feel the heartbeat of a city when the crowd turns out in force. Complete strangers yell your name to urge you on. And not only do you get to feel just a little bit like a rock star, you also share the road on the same day with the best athletes in the world. First Avenue in New York City and Tower Bridge in London were extremely loud, and the shrill, piercing screams of those Wellesley students in the Boston Marathon put me in mind of Beatlemania. And I need to channel that energy, especially when the running gets tough, as it always does. When the course is hilly and the weather is hot, I can find myself contemplating my life choices. There have been many times when I've had to gulp down buckets of Gatorade and walk for a while. Ultimately, though, drawing on that positive energy from all those people willing me to the finish and the power of the marathon to bring people together is replenishing. Some of these cities have deeply divided histories, but they come together to support the runners. Your life, your marathon, has the power to bridge division. It is that sense of hope that drives me on through the exhaustion, running to the finish line every time. A special shout out to Chicago, London, and Tokyo, who gave me a marathon finisher's medal that featured Braille. Berlin, Boston, New York, you can do this too. And it's not over. I thought I was finished, but in 2024, Abbott announced that the Majors Series, after 20 years, is going to be extended to include a 7th, 8th, and 9th star. So next month, I'm heading to Sydney. If you have ever taken a risk, bitten off a little bit more than you could chew, or felt like an imposter, maybe found yourself winging it just a bit, you're among friends. I certainly feel a little bit like that every time I go for a run or stand up to deliver a talk like this one. As blind people, we know we must push through boundaries and take a chance. None of us got here by always taking the easy path. While I live thousands of miles away, we are connected by a shared history. And some of that history is in People of Vision, ACB's story, a copy of which I have at home. Braille is also part of our shared history. Braille is a tool of liberation. It has empowered generations of blind leaders, yet we all know that Braille literacy is not where it needs to be. Too many blind children and adults lack access to the most basic tools that they need to thrive. This is a call to action for all of us. If we believe in independence and in dignity and in opportunity, then we must invest in Braille. We must champion its teaching, ensure its availability, and celebrate its value as a cornerstone of blind empowerment. Let us dream bigger. Today, blind people are excelling in fields that were once thought inaccessible: technology, the arts, business, politics, and sport. But there's so much more to achieve. Imagine a world where every blind child has access to quality education, where the workplace is universally inclusive, and where we lead not as exceptions, but as examples. Technology, of course, is a critical piece of this puzzle, but innovation is not enough. We must advocate for systemic changes. We require policies that prioritise accessibility in every industry. We must have blind leaders at the decision-making table, shaping the future of inclusion. And we need allies, sighted people, who amplify our voices, speaking with us, not for us. Tonight, I challenge each and every one of you. How will you contribute to this movement? Will you mentor a blind youth, helping them realise their potential? Will you advocate for better policies in your communities? Or will you share your story, inspiring someone else to embrace their blindness as a source of strength? Whatever it is, do it boldly. Do it with the knowledge that your actions ripple outwards, creating change far beyond this room. And at the same time, let us remember the power of collaboration. ACB, RNIB, the Braillist Foundation, together we are stronger. Let us share strategies, pool resources, and align our goals to create a global network of advocacy. The challenges we face are too big for any one organisation to tackle alone. But united, there is nothing we cannot achieve. As I stand here tonight, I am reminded of a simple truth that has guided me throughout my journey. Our stories change lives, whether it is a marathon medal, a Braille book, or even a conversation with a stranger. Every story that we share has the potential to chip away at prejudice and build a more inclusive world. So thank you, ACB, for teaching me to think differently about my blindness. Thank you for showing me what is possible when we embrace our identities and lift each other up. Let us keep running toward inclusion, toward equality, and toward a future where every blind person has the tools and opportunities we need to live our best lives.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Braillecast, the official podcast of the Braillists Foundation. You can find more Braille-related content by subscribing to Braillecast, all one word, in your podcast client of choice, or listening to Braillecast, connecting the dots for Braillists everywhere on your smart speaker. You can also find past episodes on our website at braillecast.com. If you have comments on the podcast or suggestions of topics or guests for future episodes, please email help@braillists.org. You can also find the Braillists on X, formerly Twitter, @Braillists, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Braillists Foundation. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to Braillecast, please consider making a donation to the Braillists Foundation at braillists.org/donate. Finally, if you know other people who are interested in Braille, please tell them where to find us. Until next time, on behalf of everyone on the Braillecast team, thanks for listening, and bye for now.